Hello, this is Debbie back again for part two for the Decatur Herald and Review, beginning this section as usual with the death notices. Starting with Decatur, Smith, Lynn M. Lynn M. Smith, 72, Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 7:05 p.m. on Thursday, November 26, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital. A memorial service to celebrate Lynn's life will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 3rd, at Dawson and Wyckoff Westwood Street Funeral Home. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from noon to 2 on Thursday. Lynn will be laid to rest in Boiling Springs Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to St. Teresa High School football program or Our Lady of Lourdes School athletic program, boys basketball. Decatur Stubbs, Tamika Ann. Tamika Ann Stubbs, 32, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, November 26, 2015. Services will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, December 5, 2015, at New Beginnings Apostolic Church, 1549 East Locust Street, with visitation 1 hour before service. Burial Graceland Cemetery. Professional services entrusted to Walker Funeral Services in Chapel. Decatur, Klein, Robin K. Robin K. Klein, 49, Bloomington, died Friday, November 27, 2015. Celebration of life at a later date. Body was cremated. Arrangements by Kibler Brady Ristman Memorial Home, Bloomington. Memorial to the family in care of Diana Pfeiffer, 9 Shields Drive, Bloomington, Illinois, 61704. Decatur, Sane, Leola. Leola Sane, 86, of Decatur, departed this life on Monday, November 30, 2015, at McKinley Court Nursing Home. A funeral service celebrating her life will be held 1:30 p.m. Thursday, December 3, 2015, at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 530 West Mound Road, Decatur. Reverend Dr. C. D. Stewart will officiate. Burial will take place in Mount Gilead Cemetery, Decatur. Visitation will be held Thursday from noon till time of her service in the church. Memorials will be made in her honor to Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. Tanzia Logan, Funeral Service and Care, is in charge of the arrangement. Shelbyville, Milby, James L. James Lloyd Jim Milby, 93, of Shelbyville, Illinois, passed away at 5:40 p.m. Friday, November 27, 2015, in St. John's Hospice, Springfield, Illinois. Jim passed away peacefully with family members present. A family memorial service will be held at a later date pursuant to Jim's wishes. Arrangements are by Howe and Yonke Funeral Home, Shelbyville, Illinois. Decatur, Grosh, Eugene Anthony. Eugene Anthony Grosh, 96, of DeKalb, Illinois, passed away peacefully Monday, November 30, 2015, at Oakcrest DeKalb Area Retirement Center. The funeral mass will be held 10 a.m. Thursday, December 3rd, at Newman Center, Christ the Teacher Parish, 512 Normal Road in DeKalb, with Father Robert Grosh celebrating. Burial will follow at St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery, DeKalb. In a lieu of flowers, memorial may be made to the Eugene A. Grosh Memorial Fund for Little Brothers of the Poor, sent to the Grosh family in care of Anderson Funeral Home, Post Office Box 605, 2011, South 4th Street, DeKalb, Illinois, 60115. Iliopolis, Finch, Wayne. Wayne Finch, 78, a Mahomet, formerly of Iliopolis, died on Friday, November 27, 2015, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 today, Tuesday, at Blair Owens Funeral Home. Guess it was yesterday. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. today, or was held, at Reservation Parish in Iliopolis, with visitation 1 hour prior to service. Father Robert Porter will preside over the service. Burial will be in Calvary Cemetery in Iliopolis. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, 262 Danny Thomas Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. Elwin, Morgan, J. Arlene. J. Arlene Wright Morgan, 68, of Elwin, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, November 29, 2015, in her home surrounded by her family. A service to celebrate and honor her life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, December 4, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff Westwood Street Funeral Home at 515 Westwood Street, Decatur. Meditation will be from 5 to 7 on Thursday, December 3rd, at the funeral home. She'll be laid to rest at Mount Gilead Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Lincoln Land Down Syndrome Society. And that is the end of the obituaries for listed today, Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. The next session in the Herald and Review is Chicago news, so we're switching now to the Decatur Tribune Online. Paul Osborne, editor, start out with Paul Osborne's City Beat and then go on to other news in the paper. Budget meetings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The City Council will meet in special session in its chamber at the Civic Center tomorrow, Thursday, December 3rd at 6:30 p.m. for the purpose of discussion of the 2016 City of Decatur budget. During the years I served as mayor, discussing the city budget was one of my favorite parts of the job. I ranked it as just about as enjoyable as having a tooth pulled without Novocaine. It was painful, especially when a few of the city council members were at the point of disagreeing with what seemed like nearly everything the city manager proposed and were really into micromanaging city operations. I remember one year when we spent several hours on three different Saturdays going over the budget almost line by line. My last budget as mayor wasn't approved until just hours before the legal deadline due to all the council discussions and wrangling over individual budget items. This year, the budget had to be approved at the start of a goal-setting special meeting that was being held for the council members at the Tabor School of Business at Millikan University. When the budget was finally approved, I was quoted in the daily newspaper saying, "Thank God," and I really meant it. I thought a miracle had happened right before my eyes. Certainly, council members have a right to question any item in the budget and should get an explanation and more clarity before a vote is taken. A council that never has a question regarding the budget or actions by the city manager is a council that is not doing its job. The public has a right to expect its elected council members to examine budget items, but there is a difference between asking questions or suggesting a change and hammering away on everything just to be showboating to gain publicity. I believe the council I presided over asked some legitimate questions and made some meaningful comments. I also believe a member or two of the same council did some showboating motivated by a dislike of the city manager. I've always felt that whether you like or dislike the city manager, the focus should be on the budget and not on the person or persons who prepared it. Certainly, the city of Decatur's financial condition is much worse than when I served with my fellow council members. That's not a negative mark against the previous or present city managers or councils. That's simply the economic reality of what's happening in our world today, as many cities have suffered a downturn in revenues coupled with more expenses. Today, City Council has very few, almost none, options for raising revenue except through increasing fees and raising taxes. Citizens in Decatur are at the breaking point in accepting any new taxes or fees, and we've seen that at recent council meetings. A large number of City of Decatur employees have been laid off in recent years in an attempt to shrink expenses, and some services and programs have been curtailed. Certainly, as the present mayor and city council face the 2016 budget, there isn't much wiggle room where debate can take place on what could be kept in the budget and what should be removed. There is such an overwhelming amount in the budget that must be there to run the city. There's hardly anything left to take care of some of the work and maintenance that is long overdue. What this council and city manager face is trying to keep the city's head above water until revenue growth can kick into meaningful increases. Right now, the city budget is down to the bone, and there's not much left to pick off these days. That's why I wouldn't expect the discussion for the 2016 budget to be a lengthy one like in the good old days. This year, the pain is in the city coffers, not in the discussion and in the debate. City Manager Tim Gleason has taken a lot of heat, both from the public and some city council members, for his revenue-raising proposals such as local gas tax and increasing fees on video gaming machines and liquor licenses. However, Gleason is doing what a good city manager should do, find ways to increase revenue to deal with the city's need for it. While other steps have been taken to reduce expenses during the past several years, including a sizable reduction in city personnel, those steps have not placed the city in a solid financial position. Of course, had those steps not been taken, we would be really in a heap of financial trouble today. Gleason will undoubtedly retool his ideas and continually engage the council in ways to deal with the city's financial situation through revenue generation. I would expect no less from him, and neither should the council and the community. At the very end of this column, it says, listen to the City Hall Insider Hour with Paul Osborne on Byers & Company at 7 every Thursday morning over News Talk 1340 WSOY. Visit our website at DecaturTribune.net and also find us at our Decatur Tribune Facebook page. Okay, here's an article that the editorial that Osborne did was on. City Council talks revenues to fund priorities. Decatur City Council members recently voted against increasing liquor license fees as part of a series of revenue enhancements to fund recently announced community priorities while tabling votes on two other items for further discussion at a later date. Officials tabled a vote on the creation of a city video gaming license and an associated $750 per machine fee and on implementing a local motor fuel tax of 5 cents per gallon for non-diesel fuel and 1 cent per gallon for diesel fuel. Members are looking to discuss, among other items, how much of a tax should be levied, if any, or fees implemented, and specifics as to how any funds collected might specifically be expended. A recommended increase in liquor license fees from $2,000 to $5,000 for most license classifications, from $1,400 to $3,500 for Class N licenses, and from what is now $6,000 to $10,000 for Class P licenses was defeated. All three revenue streams were introduced to help pay for community priorities recently introduced publicly, but which have long been issues in Decatur, including community cleanup and redevelopment, declining property values, and roadway improvements. Any of the revenue sources, if approved, are to be tied to specific line items for the purposes identified and not get redirected into city's general fund for other expenses. End of the article. In upbeat news, Lydia Hubbard, 13, has been selected as the 2016 Miss Illinois Junior High School America. She will represent Illinois at the national pageant held in San Antonio, Texas, next July. Lydia is an eighth grader at Moreau Forsyth Middle School and the daughter of Stacy and Steve Hubbard of Forsyth. Lydia was recently the 2014 Junior Miss Macon County. End of that note. In news from here and there, Jordan T. Klein joins law firm as associate attorney. Erickson Davis Murphy Johnson & Walsh Limited has announced that Jordan T. Klein has joined the firm as an associate attorney. His practice includes several facets of civil law, including property and personal injury claims, contract negotiation and small business services, estate planning, and insurance litigation. Klein earned his Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 2009. He earned his Juris Doctor from DePaul University College of Law 2012, where he served as editor of the Law Journal. He previously worked with civil litigation firm in Chicago, where he gained significant trial experience. He looks forward to joining the Decatur community with his wife, Stephanie, and son, Levi. Next article. Grow Decatur to provide community updates. Grow Decatur will provide a community update on Tuesday, December 1st. Two sessions will be held that day. At the Decatur Library, Public Library, in the auditorium, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then at Hope Academy from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30. The sessions will be open to the community. An update is intended to summarize Grow Decatur's progress that's been made over the past few years, present findings from the community workshops held in summer 2015, and review the priorities of the imperatives resulting from those summer workshops. The public will have an opportunity to provide feedback and ask questions during each session. Next, Decatur Community Tennis Foundation wins Illinois' first state CTA award. The USTA Midwest section is proud to announce that the Decatur Community Tennis Foundation has been awarded Illinois 2015 State Community Tennis Association CTA of the Year award. This is a new award designed to recognize the work CTAs through the Midwest section are doing in support of the USTA's mission to promote and grow the game of tennis in their respective communities. The foundation will be recognized at the USTA Mid-South Illinois District's 2015 annual meeting on Sunday, January 10, 2016. The Decatur Community Tennis Foundation, DCTF, was founded in 1985 with the purpose of raising travel funds for sectional and national level players from the community. Years later, in 1999, the community the Decatur area was awarded a USTA Pro Circuit event, which became the catalyst for increasing activity and community outreach by the foundation. The foundation continues to run the annual USTA Ursula Beck Pro Tennis Classic each summer. The success of the Pro event has enabled the foundation to expand its original mission. It now uses its own funds and leads efforts to secure grants that support players, teams, schools, and tennis facilities throughout the community. Through the foundation's support, area schools have been able to start tennis programs or improve and expand their programs. Since 2002, DCTF has continually provided funds to help form school tennis programs, to support programs with much-needed equipment or uniforms, and to provide training to coaches and physical education teachers. The foundation continues to support players in the area. In 2015, DCTF sponsored several local players to allow for year-round playing opportunities. It also provided grant money to sectional and national level junior players and grant money to the USTA Competition Training Center for over 10 years. Foundation funds also have been given generously through the years to numerous tennis facilities in the community. Money has been used to build new courts and to resurface and refurbish older courts. Other facilities have received new nets, bleachers, awnings, and even windscreens through the support of the foundation. End of the article. Ameren, Illinois breaks ground on new Decatur facilities. The next article. Investment supports company's efforts to build safer, more reliable energy delivery system, strengthens local economy. Decatur, Illinois. Well, this is a press release from November 13, 2015, the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County joined leaders from Ameren, Illinois and City of Decatur today to break ground on the company's new $5.3 million facility in Decatur. It's located at 2425 North Woodford Street and houses Ameren, Illinois Gas Control Center. The center provides real-time monitoring of Ameren, Illinois' natural gas delivery system. In sports, back on sports. Interviews for new Millikan football coach underway. In response to my inquiry this morning, Sunday, Millikan's athletic director, Dr. Craig White, through Brian Marshall, confirmed that interviews are underway for a football coach to succeed Pat Etherington, who resigned at the end of this season. Dr. White said the university will have some candidates on campus this week to interview for the Big Blue position. The Millikan AD also indicated he already talked with several candidates, and this is the next step in the process. Marshall has also indicated he didn't think the interview process is confined to this week. I will have more on this developing story in a future print edition of the Decatur Tribune. In upcoming events and meetings, DMH to host Community Blood Drive December 9th. Decatur Memorial Hospital will host a Community Blood Drive Wednesday, December 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at 2300 North Edward Street inside Bloodmobile. Potential donors must be at least 17, 16 with parental permission form available through the blood center, and weigh more than 110 pounds. A photo identification or Central Illinois Community Blood Center donor card is required to donate. Blood donation is a safe, simple procedure that takes about 45 minutes to 1 hour. Individuals with diabetes and controlled high blood pressure may be accepted as eligible donors. Next, all-you-can-eat breakfast in Kenny, December 5th. The Kenny Civic League will sponsor an all-you-can-eat breakfast on Saturday, December 5th. It will be held at the Kenny Community Center, 101 South Johnston, Kenny, from 8 to 10 a.m. and cost $8 for an adult, $4 for a child. The menu will consist of biscuits and gravy, bacon and sausage, cinnamon rolls, fruits, pancakes, casseroles, coffee, orange juice, and milk. Senior Center Christmas Open House, December 8th. The Decatur-Macon County Senior Center's Christmas Open House is Friday, December 4th, from 9 to 3 p.m. Okay, the headline was wrong. The Decatur-Macon County Senior Center's Christmas Open House is Friday, December 4th, from 9 to 3. There will be refreshments all day. The public is welcome and encouraged to attend. The Senior Center is located at 1430 North 22nd Street in Decatur. Its regular business hours are 8 to 3, Monday through Friday. Next, Stitch and Sew Quilting Workshop to meet February 13th, 20th. Are you 18 to... Okay, so they are for... this is an announcement for kids. Are you 8 to 18-year-olds and interested in learning the art of quilting? If so, the Macon 4-H Stitch and Sew Quilting Workshop is a perfect fit for you. This hands-on workshop will be hosted by an experienced quilter to help you create a beautiful lap-sized quilt just for you. This club will meet on February 13th and 20th. From 9 a.m. until noon. Participants are encouraged to attend both sessions for a complete project. Classes will be held at University of Illinois Extension in Decatur, 3351 North President Howard Brown Boulevard. Participants must have previous sewing experience and are asked to bring 4 coordinating pieces of half-yard fabric of their choice or may choose from our selection. Cost is $15 for current 4-H members or $20 for non-4-H members. Class size is limited for this hands-on workshop, so be sure to register by February 10th at goillinois.edu/dmp to reserve a spot. If you have questions or need more detail, contact Becky Hugo at 877-6042, or write her at rhugo at illinois.edu. University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities in program and employment. If you need reasonable accommodation or to participate in this program, call, same number, 877-6042. Next, movie at AACGS Museum, December 5th. A movie will be held at the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society of Illinois Museum, 235 West El Dorado Street in Decatur, on Saturday, December 5th at 4 p.m. The featured film will be 10,000 Men Named George Pullman Porter. Donations will be accepted. For additional information or to make reservations, call Evelyn Hood, 429-7458. 429-7458. Seating is limited. Garden Club of Decatur announces meetings for December. The Garden Club of Decatur will meet December 8th at the Oglesby Mansion, 421 William Street. Dinner will be at 5:30 p.m., followed by a program at 7. Elaine and Ellen will entertain us with harp music and teach us about herbs that can be used in making teas. Reservations required. Please visit the Garden Club of Decatur on Facebook. The Garden Club of Decatur will meet December 15th at Hickory Point Banquet Hall on Weaver Road in Forsyth. Social hour will be 11 a.m., meeting at 11:30, lunch at 12, and program at 1. Presenter Rick Orr will create beautiful designs in his program Creations for the Season. Reservations required. Please visit the Garden Club of Decatur on Facebook. Next, Macon County History Museum to feature roundtable discussion on Vietnam. On Saturday, December 5th at 1 p.m., the Macon County History Museum at 5580 North Fork Road will be hosting a roundtable discussion with documentary filmmaker Nick Walsh, EIU history professor Edmund Worrell, and several local Vietnam veterans. This is the same announcement we read earlier. Walsh's film, Fire for Effect, A Grassroots History of the Vietnam War, examines the conflict through the lens of local history and is slated for completion in spring of 2016. Program admission is $2 and made possible through a grant by the Illinois Humanities Council. So that's Saturday at 1 at the Macon County History Museum. Next, Prairie Wind Ensemble, December. Concert, Prairie Wind Ensemble December Concert, December 11th. The Prairie Wind Ensemble in residence at Illinois Central College will present their second concert of their 38th season on Friday, December 11th. The concert begins at 7:30 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center at Illinois Central College. The ensemble will be under the direction of David Maccabee and Laurel K. Filzen-Etzel for this concert. The concert will also feature a new composition written and conducted by Brian Spickelmeyer. Next, conference about nutrient loss reduction to be held at UI Extension December 9th. Heart of the Sangamon Eco Partnership will present a conference about nutrient loss reduction on Wednesday, December 9th. The conference will be held at the University of Illinois Extension Decatur from 9 to 1 p.m. Discussion sessions will feature Hans Koch, Indiana Conservation and Cropping Systems Initiative, Lowell Gentry, Senior Researcher, U of I, and Dan Schaefer, Illinois Council of Best Management Practices. To register or for additional information, call Macon County Soil and Water Conservation District at 877-5670, 877-5670. At the zoo. Zoo Buddies classes at Scoville Zoo. An all-new animal adventure awaits 3 to 5 year olds during Scoville Zoo's new Zoo Buddies classes. Single-day classes are held on January 12th, Happy Hedgehogs, February 9th, Playful Penguins, and March 8th, Sleepy Sloths from 10 to 11 at the Scoville Zoo. Participants will enjoy short stories and hands-on activities to make connections with zoo animals. Children also get to take home their very own Zoo Buddy toy after each class. Fee is $15 or $12 with resident discount. Parents must be present. Call the zoo at 421-7435, 421-7435, or register online at decatur-parks.org. Christmas Bazaar at Forsyth United Church, Methodist Church, December 5th. Christmas Bazaar will be held December 5th, 9 to 2 at Forsyth United Methodist Church, 210 Royal Street, Forsyth. They'll have lunch. HSHS St. Mary's Foundation's Christmas Star to Remember Loved Ones. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the community an opportunity to honor or remember loved ones by purchasing a light for $50 suggested donation on a star that's a perch atop the hospital. Donations given to the foundation will benefit the greatest needs of the hospital. All names of loved ones will be listed in the lobby of the hospital and programmed for star lighting service on December 8th. Glass House. This is the last two. The Glass House is drop-off site for Vinny's Toy Drive. Glass House on Oakland is one of the drop-off sites for Vintage Toy Drive this year. Vinny Barbie collects toys, among other things, to give homeless families each year. Yeah. The donations are accepted through the 14th of December. And finally, Salvation Army Senior Christmas Program to be held December 11th. The Salvation Army Senior Christmas Program will be held Friday, December 11th at 229 West Main Street, Decatur, beginning at 11 a.m. The program is for all seniors, $55 and over. A $3 donation will be accepted at the door. For reservations, call 428-4672, 428-4672, no later than next Wednesday, December 9th. This is the end of Section 2, the Decatur Papers. This is Debbie saying goodbye for Wednesday, December 2nd. Talk to you again next Wednesday.